What is going on? Welcome back to the No Sell Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, and today we're going to be talking about WrestleMania 37, A Tale of Two Nights. So, WrestleMania Night 1 and 2 was overall a good event. Let's see here. So, in terms of good WrestleMania and bad WrestleMania, I think the pinnacle of WrestleMania 17 through 19. So those are like the best WrestleManias of all time up there. They're up there at least. And then some of the worst WrestleManias from 27. WrestleMania 27, WrestleMania 9. A lot of those early manias. In terms of where it is in between there, I would rank it at a good, a decent, like a WrestleMania 25. Like, there were some really good matches on this card, and then there were some really bad matches. There were some good moments, and then there were some bad moments. So, overall, it was a decent show. Let's get into night one, because that was the best night of wrestling. So, first starts off with a giant weather issue. It was raining and storming so hard in Tampa Bay. I mean, go figure, it's hurricane season. That they thought they might have to cancel WrestleMania, so that was kind of sad. So they had a 45 minute delay, I think 40 minutes, and so there were a lot of on the fly promos, off the cuff promos. Kevin Owens really sold his match with Sami Zayn. They threw Shane out there to die. Yeah, so there were some good promos and there were some bad ones. Overall, it was just a very unforgettable part of WrestleMania, simply because of the weather issues, not because of any entertainment going on. And then match one starts. It's Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. Bold decision. I originally thought that they were going to go with the huge babyface win to pop the crowd early and start the show on a high note. I was wrong. So Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley, they had this hardcore buff guy beats up buff guy. Well, I mean, that's all of wrestling, but tall buff guy versus tall buff guy beat each other up for like 15 minutes. It was brutal. Drew McIntyre hit a tope flip atomico or whatever they call it. Freaking front flip over the top ropes. Three future shocks in a row on Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley still kicked out. Locked in the hurt lock. That was it. The almighty Bobby Lashley is still your WWE champ. My thoughts, great. I'm so glad that they let Bobby Lashley continue to hold the title. I'm very happy he won the title in the first place. I was also a fan of the Miz cash-in. I'm just kind of sad it didn't last all that long. What was it, a week? But then the Almighty won. Very happy about that. He's been a good WWE champ so far. MVP is amazing. Drew McIntyre is probably going to go on some sort of redemption arc to get the title back. I'm guessing by SummerSlam. He might win Money in the Bank, so yeah, I think it's good for both guys. Drew gets to take some time out of the main event. He doesn't need the WWE Championship anymore. I think he's bigger than it. Not to say that he shouldn't win it again. He definitely should win it again. But I think right now, he needs to go out there and just have good matches with everybody. Because it felt like with the WWE title, he was restricted, fighting only main event guys. So, yeah. And then we moved on to, I believe, they moved on to, oh my goodness, I cannot remember. It has been a whole day. There has been a lot of wrestling. What was the match after that? So it was Drew versus Bobby Lashley. And then it was, it was the women's tag team turmoil match. I don't have much to say about it. It was exactly what I was expecting. It was not impressive. It was a bad match. I did not enjoy it whatsoever. Tamina and Natalya ended up winning. Riot Squad was in there. Mandy Rose was in there. Billie Kay was in there. Peyton Royce wasn't even on WrestleMania at all. So it just goes to show you that they shouldn't have broken up Fire and Desire, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, and they shouldn't have broken up the Iconics, because here they are, a couple months or a year removed from their separation, and they're just not doing anything. So, I don't know. Moving on, then there was Cesaro versus Seth Rollins, and this match had no right being as amazing as it was due to the story that they had built. My goodness. So, Seth versus Cesaro was a match about being the story was about Cesaro being very upset that he was spun. Seth Rollins being very upset that he was spun. And I was thinking, oh, okay, they're going to go out there, they're going to get 9 minutes, they're going to have a decent match. And then, I forgot that Seth Rollins is, like, Vince's favorite wrestler in the entire universe. So he got time to go out there and put on a classic with Cesaro. And this is for all the people who forgot that Seth Rollins was a fantastic wrestler. This was also for the people who thought Cesaro was boring. These guys went out there and they had a great match. There was a spin, and there was the old school helicopter spin that Cesaro used to do in the indies, with the guy on his shoulders, and he takes his hands off. It was awesome. So yeah, I really liked that match. And then there was AJ Styles and Omos versus The New Day. And the start of the match was the New Days, who are the babyfaces, were working heel and trying to keep AJ Styles from tagging in Omos. But when Omos was tagged in, that was the end of the match, because he beat the crap out of both members of the New Day, hit a giant spine buster, and they won the tag titles. I liked the match. The first part was a little clunky for me, but I mean, it's AJ Styles, so clunky for AJ Styles is still, like, a decent match. And then Omos came in, and I popped for it. I know there are people who thought that Omos' wrestling was bad or sloppy or whatever. I liked it. I thought it was very good, and, yeah. Moving on, there was Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage, and, yeah. It was alright. So, it was in a steel cage. Before Braun could even get to the ring, Riker and Elias run out. And they start attacking Braun, and they hit his leg, which is going to be the story of the match. So, Braun's working over the leg, and they're attacking his leg. They leave prematurely, which is stupid on Shane McMahon's part. Like, if you're paying guys to go protect you, wouldn't you want them inside the cage with you so it could be 3-on-1? Braun has nowhere to run. There's a match, and the strangest thing to me, for like 3 minutes, Shane McMahon is straight beating up Braun Strowman. Like, I get he has a bad leg, but it's Shane McMahon beating up Braun Strowman. And then Braun wakes up from being beat up by the boss's son, this scrawny dude in a freaking baseball jersey. Anyway, he wakes up, and then Shane's like, all right, I'm out of here. Like, I've done enough beating you up today. Like, I'm definitely out of here. And then as he's leaving the side of the cage, he pulls his hand inside of the chain link, so wave bye to Braun in a taunting manner. Braun jumps up, grabs his arm, and I'm thinking, like, oh, is he just going to, like, pull him into the cage and he's going to fall and end up winning that way? No, Braun Strowman, like, straight Kane style, rips the wall out of the steel cage, pulls Shane through it, climbs to the top of the steel cage with Shane in his hand, and just throws Shane off. And there were no tables. There were no chairs. Shane McMahon flies, 20 feet, does a front flip, full momentum, back first onto the canvas. He's 51 years old. You cannot throw a 51-year-old man 20 feet out of the air, have them front flip onto their back, and expect them to be okay. But man, it was a crazy spot. I loved it. Shane's just I realize how gifted I am to have watched Shane do all these jumps. Like, man, is there another guy who's risked as much jumping-wise? Because I know Mick Foley has gone through a series of injuries and whatnot, but I mean, like, in terms of spots, like, Shane's always jumping off of something. He's always falling off of something. He's always falling off of something. He's never hitting anybody. He almost always misses. The match had a good message. Braun Strowman beat up the guy who was bullying him. I definitely get those for the kids. I liked it, still. That Shane bump was sick. Braun Strowman freaking pulling the cane and ripping the wall out of the cell was awesome. So, and then after that, there was the match that I 100% was not expecting to be as good as it was, and that was Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison. I never spoke on Bad Bunny, but originally he was going to perform, and I understand. I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'm not too familiar with him, but whatever. And then he stuck around, and then I thought, you know, it's just another celebrity here to collect a WWE check, sitting around like a goofball. And then he performs live, I think it was the Today Show or something, with the 24/7 title, and I was like, wow, this guy's like legit a fan. Like, I know there are a bunch of people who would never perform with that title, and he really did. And then I heard he was training the Performance Center. I was like, all right, I got a little respect for this guy. He gets an awesome awesome truck entrance. And then the match starts, and it was mostly The Miz, Morrison, and Damian Priest kind of carrying the match. But Bad Bunny definitely did his part. He had a high-flying spot. He hit a Canadian Destroyer on the outside, which was ridiculous. He even hit a freaking, oh my goodness, a flying head scissors, a hurricane runner, manages to hit a falcon arrow at the same time as Damian Priest, and then they ended up getting the win, and just wow, I owe Bad Bunny an apology. He went out there, and he proved that he was, in fact, not just another celebrity here to collect that Vince McMahon paycheck. He proved that he's a wrestling fan through and through, and he proved that he is a wrestler. It was crazy. Canadian Destroyer in your first match ever. That's just ridiculous. And then there was the main event. Sasha Banks versus Royal Rumble winner Bianca Belair. A historic main event. Great match. Great, 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 great match. Obviously, Sasha Banks is going to put on a great match. I don't think I've ever seen a bad Sasha Banks match. And Bianca Belair can definitely work. I watched it in NXT quite a bit. So I knew putting these two together was magic. There was this crazy spot where Sasha goes for the suicide dive. Bianca rolls through, catches her, picks her up at a press, walks around the ring, climbs the steps. I'll remind you, she's still holding Sasha Banks in a press hold. And then decides she's going to throw into the ring. Like, it was nuts. She hit the 450. Went for the 450 one time, missed. And she hit the 450. Sasha kicked out. There was that whip with the hair that left a giant scar or welt or whatever it is across Sasha's chest. It was just all around a fantastic match. And then the KOD gets the win. Just wow. Great match. Historic match. Nothing more I could say about that. And then, oh, and then we get to the night that was hyped up to be, oh, this night's going to be even better than the first night. No, it was not. This night was not very good. It opens with the match I was most hyped to see out of any match in this year's WrestleMania, The Fiend versus Randy Orton, a story that had been building since TLC. I mean, really, when Randy burned down the House of Horrors, the fire became an element of this feud. I was like, wow, they've been building this feud for 3 years. I mean, not all of it was perfectly planned, but geez. So the match kicks off. Randy Orton comes out, brand new tights, looking dope. And then there's a Jack in the Box. No, first there's this strange graphic or, I guess, cinematic scene where the Fiend's walking in a boiler room. He looks like Freddy Krueger. And then the burnt version of the Fiend fades away into the regular Fiend, which, oh, stupid. And then there's a Jack in the Box at ringside, and Alexa Bliss is there. And then she twists the Jack in the Box. Out comes the Fiend, which was dope. And then the match starts. The Fiend jumps off the Jack in the Box, clotheslines Randy Orton. They're still wrestling in the red light, which I absolutely hate. So the match already loses points. And then it's just a strange match. There's some action on the outside. The Fiend looks different. He's got a cleaner. His mask is cleaner, which sucks. His braids are cleaner, and they're less. There's less of them, which also sucks. He's gotten slimmer, so good for Bray Wyatt. But it was a strange match. There was a couple attempts at the mandible claw. Let's talk about the end, though, because that's all that matters, because the rest of the match was not very good. There was Bray Wyatt puts Randy Orton in the Sister Abigail position, goes kiss the forehead, flames explode out of the turnbuckles, and then from the box ascends this, like, satanic version of Alexa Bliss. Like, she's got the crown of thorns on, and she's, like, leaking, like, this black blood, and she's got the like weird drawings and what else, they're all black, and she's like leaking this black liquid from her forehead and her mouth, and she's like extending her hand for the Fiend, and the Fiend decides, hey, I'm gonna set down Randy Orton, and walk towards this Satan figure, and he gets turned around, RKO'd, 1-2-3, Randy Orton wins. The lights go out. Oh, the lights come back up. The red light goes up, the lights come back up. And the Fiend is just staring at Alexa Bliss, and the everything turns off in that Fiend manner, like one at a time, slowly in weird blocks. The lights come back on, and they're just both gone. What? That match was horrible. The finish was horrible. The actual match itself was horrible. The red lights are back, and the story does not make any sense whatsoever. After Alexa Bliss did all of this work to re-summon the Fiend from his burnt crypt or corpse thing or whatever, it just hit first the burnt exterior vanishes, and then the match is bad, and then he loses, and Alexa Bliss costs him the match. For a second I thought Aleister Black was going to show up, but it wasn't Aleister Black, so it was pointless. The entire match was pointless. The entire feud was pointless. My gut tells me this is going to carry on longer to, like, Backlash or something, and just, oh my goodness, it was such a bad match, such a bad finish, such a bad literally everything. I did not enjoy myself at all. It was like a 7 or 6 minute match with a stupid finish. Yeah, no, it was a bad way to start WrestleMania, because I didn't think we were going to get a screwy finish like that. I honestly thought coming into this that the Fiend was going to squash Randy Orton, but no, that didn't happen. We got the same old Fiend. Didn't even get to make a sick entrance. He had to pop out of a Jack in the Box. And then he loses in 6 minutes because of an Alexa Bliss distraction. How WWE is that? Anyway, moving on. There was the tag match. An Italian Tamina versus tag team champion Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. This match got 15 minutes. 15 minutes, and it did not deserve 15 minutes. It was a pretty basic match. The champs retained. Tampa Bay, Tamina lost in front of her hometown crowd. It was not a very good match. There was an Andre Hogan spot, but Tamina couldn't even lift Nia Jax properly. And then Nia Jax doing her best Roman Reigns impression, talking in the ring like she's, like, the head of the women's division, when she is not. She's been Raw Women's Champ, like, once. Anyway, moving on from that, there was the, I believe it was Sammy versus Kevin Owens after that with Logan Paul at ringside. And this match was very good for what he got. It was a okay match. It got 9 minutes. Reminder, the women's tag team match got 15 minutes, and the Fiend versus Randy Orton got 7 minutes. Just a reminder about all of that. The women's tag match got 15 minutes. Just a reminder. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens got 9 minutes. It was an okay match. It could have went much longer. It could have hit that second gear. They've had a great match in WWE before, but they needed to have one here at WrestleMania. I am tired of the version of Sami Zayn that we are getting. I want a new Sami Zayn. I hope this is the end for Sami Zayn's conspiracy theory character. It's probably not. But Kevin Owens gets the win with a stunner. And then Logan Paul comes into the ring to shake KO's hand. Sami Zayn freaks out. Logan Paul pushes Sami Zayn. And then he goes and raises Kevin Owens' hand and then takes a stunner. Sells it fine. It was all a bunch of nonsense. Kevin Owens deserved much better at WrestleMania. Sami Zayn deserved much better at WrestleMania. They deserved much more than 9 minutes. You know, they could have switched the times. The women's tag match could have got 9 minutes. And Sami vs. KO could have got 15. But, you know, I guess WWE has their priorities straight. Anyway, following that, there was Matt Riddle versus Sheamus. And these guys, they just always put on good matches. They always do. It's just the law at this point. Let's talk about the finish, though, because Matt Riddle goes for a moonsault off the second rope, gets caught with a bro kick mid-rotation, and that's how Sheamus wins. One heck of a feud. I think that the right guy won. I think Riddle can move on, probably go win Money in the Bank or whatever it is he wants to do. Yeah, I think that the entire segment, all of it was money. And then there was the Nigerian drum match, which I thought was going to be like a drum gimmick where you have to put somebody through a giant drum. Turns out it's just a street fight, but they call it a Nigerian drum match because, and I quote, "the sound of the beating will be like a beating drum." Okay, so they're having a street fight. This one was good. It was painful. I think that it could have used an extra few minutes. Reminder, the women's tag match went 15. They were just beating the crap out of each other with weapons, kendo sticks. There was a steel chair spot with a Uranage by Big E to Apollo Crews onto the steel steps. There was a table spot where Apollo Crews missed Big E and went right through the table off the top rope. And then Big E hits the beginning, and I'm like, okay, in the match, Apollo Crews is going to get tucked again. Out comes Dabba Kato, the guy from Raw Underground. He comes out, hits a Samoan spike on Big E, then picks him up, hits him with a Tongan Death Grip chokeslam, which is just a chokeslam. And then Apollo Crews gets the win, new Cruiserweight champ, and assumedly new tag team partner, Dabba Kato. What a great way to use a guy who I thought was going to get thrown to the trash after the ending of Raw Underground. So glad to see that. I love Dabba Kato. And then there was the Rhea Ripley versus Asuka match. That match needed more time. It was really good. It was really good. It was a really good match. It wasn't a great match, though, and I think that's because it was way too short. They never hit another gear. I know they can. I know they can do better than that. Rhea Ripley had a live performance. It was mixed horribly. The singer was way too loud for the vocals. It ruined her entrance, in my opinion. I couldn't even listen. It was so bad. And then they had the match, and it was a good match, like I said. Just a little short. So I think it could have used a little bit more time. Rhea Ripley wins with one riptide. My goodness. The end of Asuka's reign, I'm so sad to see it end, but it was time. It was Rhea Ripley's time. She couldn't start her career off 0-2 at WrestleMania. And she gets the Raw Women's title. A great bout of good luck, because you hate to say good luck, because Charlotte got hurt, but I mean, Rhea Ripley, right place, right time. She gets the title on her first main roster match in WWE, so yeah, just crazy. And then we move to the main event. The match I was second most hyped for. Daniel Bryan versus Edge versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. And this match was the match of night two, although that was not hard. Literally any match could have been match of the night for night two because it was that bad. This one was a very good match, very good everything, honestly. There was a good table spot. Daniel Bryan just powerbombed to the table. There was a good steel step spot where Edge spears Roman Reigns off of the steel steps. There was the double yes lock. Well, there was a yes lock from Daniel Bryan and then a crippler crossface from Edge. And then, like at the same time on Roman Reigns, it was the coolest thing in the world. Looked like his shoulders were about to separate completely. And then Edge goes, sets up a concerto on both Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. He hits Daniel Bryan with the concerto, but as he goes to hit Roman, Jey Uso comes out. Another reminder, Jey Uso actually started the match in Roman's corner, but Edge took him out early with an execution onto the steel steps. So that was crazy. And then
Like earlier, after Edge was about to hit the concerto and Roman was passed out, Jey Uso comes out, starts beating him up. Edge decides he's going to spear him. Then Edge gets hit with the spear himself by Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns sets Edge in a concerto, hits the concerto. Then he puts Roman on top of Daniel Bryan, and then he pins the both of them to retain the Universal Championship. Dominant win by Roman Reigns. I still stand by the fact that the Tribal Chief is very boring, in my opinion. He is very boring. He needs some sort of spice up. I don't know what. But the Tribal Chief is very boring, in my opinion. I think that the wrong guy won here, honestly. I know that Roman's going to hold the title for another 300 days until The Rock can come back, and those two are going to have a crazy match in Texas, where Roman's going to win again. Just a reminder that The Rock's not going to hold the Universal title. He's an actor now. He's also like 50-something. So, obviously, Roman's going to win, and he's going to be Universal Champion for like 500 days. Oh my goodness, he's going to be champ forever. And I think that Edge definitely should have won here. I think that Daniel Bryan should have won. Literally either of those guys should have won. Edge won the Royal Rumble. In the past, 5 years, it's only really mattered to Roman Reigns, Triple H, because he won the WWE Championship. That's 2016, 2017, Randy Orton, 2018 was that? That was WrestleMania 34. That's where The Undertaker, quote unquote, retired. Who won the Royal Rumble that year? Shinsuke Nakamura, because he lost to AJ Styles. So it didn't matter for Shinsuke. And then the year after that, I believe, was Seth Rollins, and definitely mattered then. It was here in Arizona, but I didn't even get to go. God, I would have killed to see my favorite wrestler at the time win the Royal Rumble. Mattered for Seth, because he won the title, the opener of WrestleMania, and then it did not matter. Oh, no, it did matter for Dramatic. Okay, so maybe the point about the Royal Rumble not mattering anymore is moot. But it just sucks that Edge had to lose, because he went through all this. He literally went through so much. He came back from a life-threatening neck injury to come wrestle. He does a program with Randy Orton, has the greatest wrestling match ever, and then he tears his tricep and he's out the entire year, comes back, wins the Royal Rumble, and you just couldn't give this man the Universal Championship? Are you joking me? Maybe he didn't want it, but that's not the point. Edge definitely should have won it. And so that's the coverage of both nights of WrestleMania. And if you couldn't tell by my switch in positivity to negativity, night one was so good. It was so good to see the fans back. But it was really good. And night two had even better fans, in my opinion. The fans were much more loud. The fans were much more alive for night two, but it failed. Night two of WrestleMania was really bad, in my opinion. It was basically an all bad guys night. With the exception of who? With the exception of nobody. I think no good guy, no babyface won tonight. I could be completely wrong, but no babyface won tonight. And that's just a terrible way to book, because every male champion in your company is heel right now. Every male singles champion. You realize that, right? Lashley, Roman, Sheamus, Apollo. All those guys are heels. So, your four top male titles are on heels. I'm not sure what Rhea Ripley is. She's probably like a tweener of some sort. And Bianca Belair has a face, so it's not... This is a great women's pay-per-view. Like I said, I wasn't a big fan of the Turmoil tournament, but it was not bad wrestling by any means. And the crowd was super into it. I was shocked by that. The tag match was bad wrestling, though. Oh, I forgot to mention that on night two, Bayley got jobbed out by the Bella Twins, who are retired, I mind you. Retired, they just went into the Hall of Fame. And then Bayley gets jobbed out by them. Beat up on the stage of WrestleMania as fireworks go off. Titus O'Neil, who I really respect, Hulk Hogan, who I do not respect, not even a little bit, both hosted WrestleMania. Happy to see Titus, not very happy to see Hulk Hogan. They couldn't find a spot for the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion of all time. Like I said, Bayley is the most disrespected member of the Four Horsewomen, like, ever. I don't understand why. She couldn't even get a spot on WrestleMania. And then she gets jobbed out by the Bella Twins. You think Charlotte's going to get jobbed out by the Bella Twins? You think if Becky came out spouting heel nonsense that she would get jobbed out by the Bella Twins? I don't even think Sasha would get jobbed out by the Bella Twins. But of course, Bayley, she's a company person. Of course she's going to do whatever Vince asks her, even if it is getting buried by the Bella Twins. But yeah, so overall it was a tale of two nights. Night one, a fantastic night of wrestling. A great way to introduce live fans back to WWE. I'm not sure if they're going to be fans at Raw or not. I haven't looked it up. I haven't looked into it. But if this is the introduction to fans, night one acts as a great reminder of what fans bring. And then night two is a great reminder that WWE just sometimes does not care what you think. And I'm not saying all the good guys should have won. I'm saying Edge should have won. And I'm saying The Fiend should have won. That's it. That's it. You could have had the rest of the results stay exactly the same and I would have been fine. But yeah, it was a tale of two nights. Night one, a good one. Night two, not so much. That's it. Thank you for watching. If you're listening to this on Spotify, please leave a review. It helps a ton. And have a good day. This is Elden signing out.